Well, I greet you in the precious, lovely name of Jesus, and I feel honored to be here this morning with you. We enjoyed our trip to Nicaragua immensely, but it is just special to take in every word and not wonder what they were singing. And I'm looking forward to preaching and not being interrupted or interpreted, but I want to encourage you to continue to pray for the churches in Nicaragua. I've shared many times with you about the challenges that they have faced especially in the political scene, but I was very blessed and encouraged by the commitment level of many that are there. I guess I would also say my heart is very full. Hearing the fathers just bless their children and thank God for the children that God had blessed them with, it just did something in my heart. So I just want to thank you. And just a prayer of dedication. And many of us, fathers and mothers, we know the humbling feeling that is, because we know that that children are a heritage of the Lord, and we're only stewards. We do our best. So my heart is full, and enjoyed the Sunday school lessons so much, and I enjoyed the songs so much, and I enjoy you all so much. I'm just thankful and grateful to be here. I would like to share maybe a brief meditation on a continued theme that we already have been hearing about. We've heard it's Mother's Day, and with the children's lesson, I think we would all agree that was powerful, not only for the children, but for each one of us. And I'd like to just continue on that theme to encourage and bless the mothers among us. I do have somewhat of a burden, and this burden isn't. This burden has developed over 20 or 30 years, and the burden is. It's. I'm talking to myself as much as anyone else. My question is, what shapes our values? You know, we all have values. What shapes it? And I think every one of us would agree that our culture, our world, affects us in ways that we're not even aware of. When God's people were sent into the promised land, how many times were they told, don't adapt their practices? It is woven through the Old Testament. And I look at my own life. I think I'm young, and I'm kind of getting towards middle-aged. No, in reality, I think I'm leaving middle. I mean, I'm a middle-aged. But I just look back, and I just see even how my own values are determined. And then our Sunday school lesson, you know, we looked at a beautiful passage and we talked about stability. What is the believer's stability? And if you have your Bible this morning, yeah, hold it up. Every now and then, it's been a long time since I've done that. You know, there are people in the world that would cry if they would see what we just saw. All those copies of the Word of God, there are people that cherish one page. And we looked in the Sunday school lesson this morning, and the theme was the stability that the Word of God gives us as believers. And it's not just men that on a whim wrote something down. It was the God of heaven inspiring them, and here we have it. That's a firm conviction that I have, and I trust it's a firm conviction that you have. Well, that was a longer introduction than I planned to give. So now I'm going to abbreviate a little bit more on the content. But I want to bless and encourage the mothers. And I guess one of the passages that is my go-to passage when it comes to the theme of motherhood, the value, is, you may have guessed it, I'm right in about the middle of the Bible, Proverbs 31. I'm just going to take a supersonic speed over Proverbs 31, and I'm just going to pull out a few nuggets of truth that I hope are an encouragement. But again, I want to encourage the mothers, and the older I get, when I think of an illustration or a story, I think I probably shared that 5 times already. Once you share a few, preach a few decades, so forgive me. I'm sure some of you have heard it before, but there was a few pastors that were discussing what version of the Bible that they really appreciate, what means, what they get the most out of. And one was, you know, a King James, and the other one was another version, and another version, and another. And they had their translation ideas, and some were. And then one finally piped up and he said, "I'm sorry, but the most powerful version that has ever affected me is my mother's." And your mother actually translated the Bible? She said, "Absolutely. She began when I was just a little tyke, and I saw the Bible lived out and fleshed out and translated into real life my entire life. And that has affected me, and I have never forgotten that story." And I trust that you as mothers and us as fathers, in fact, every single one of us, that's a truth. In fact, what I just said is a powerful truth, because Paul said, you are living epistles, seen and read of all men. So we are walking Bibles, we're living Bibles. But in that story, one pastor said, "My mother's version of the Bible was the most powerful version I've ever read." So take courage. And I really want to encourage you as mothers this morning. So you're in Proverbs 31, and I have already said the question is, what influences our values? We live in a world that is very, I don't want to label culture, but sometimes you hear the term that United States was a Christian nation and so on, and I'm of a firm belief that United States was never Christian. And it probably never will be. At the very early stages of the United States of America, they adhered more closely to Old Testament values. But the way it even started was far from the life and the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what really shapes our values? And now we come to the thing of motherhood. That subject alone, if you would go back 100 years, you would see such a different value system. And I've taught U.S. United States history in school for 1 or 2 years. We looked at United States history. And I still remember reading through like after the Great Depression, World War II and so on, was a big shift, the feminist movement and so on. And I wonder if the men of the country are more responsible for the feminist movement than the ladies were. Because I think if we latch on to the respect and honor, it's going to definitely be reciprocal. So I'm saying that our culture, our world, the values that we see have really shifted, and especially in this area of motherhood. So I just want to come back, and probably now for the sake of time, maybe just read Proverbs 31 and just highlight several points. In Proverbs 31, The first verse says the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So I want to stop right there and say that Proverbs 31 stems from a mother's teaching. So King Lemuel was writing, inspired by God, but it was an echo of what his mother taught him. So I think that's pretty neat. And I'm not going to read verse 2 through 9, but in verses 2 through 9 is basically a warning. Apparently King Lemuel had a mother that said, Lemuel, there are two things that will destroy you. And I don't know if his mother knew he was going to be a king. And maybe it was after he was a king that his mother gave this prophecy. But there's two things that will destroy you. And one is if you give your strength to women. Look at verse 3. Don't give your strength to women. In other words, many men are destroyed by a strange woman. And we could back up into Proverbs 5, 6, and some of those chapters hear that. But there's a strong warning. And also the next few verses is another warning about strong drink, wine. Just don't let that affect, it'll pervert your judgment, basically. I'm summarizing. So that's kind of a real summary of down to verse 10. And now we find a question. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And I guess if I'm going to title this message, I would title it, A Mother's Value Far Above Rubies. Maybe you can work on that title just a little bit. But that's what the value of this kind of a mother is, far above rubies. And I would just, I didn't spend any time looking at the price of rubies, but we're talking about the value of a woman, of a virtuous woman. And I want to say right up front, this virtuous woman was a mother. I read some articles about quotes from modern day women that have latched on to the feminist movement and some of the ways that prevent them from being mothers. And I still remember one woman wrote, praise God for some of the modern ways that we don't become mothers. I hope you can read between the lines. Because if I would become a mom, my whole life would be shattered. That's basically a quote. The virtuous woman is a mother. I want to lift up the value far above rubies. And in verses 11 through the end of the chapter, we're basically going to see her personality, her character, and some of the qualities that she is very much of her life. So we're talking about a virtuous woman who is a mother. And I want to, okay, I never was a mom. I never will be. And I'm guessing if I'd be a mom and I'd read Proverbs 31, I'd go, oh. You know what I say? I say, most of you sitting here are closer to Proverbs 31 than you realize. But when the crying child and the dirty floor and the just scream at you and all that, I just want to encourage you. You may not be into buying real estate and some of the things that are kind of indicated here in Proverbs 31, but I think many of you are a lot closer to Proverbs 31 than you think. And I don't want this to be a standard that makes anybody go and overwhelm. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get a hold of the value, a value system that we have been lied, that our culture is lying to us about. So let's continue on. She's a mother. She's keeping the home. She's a keeper at home. Keeper at home. That's in Timothy, I believe. So in verse 11, it says, "She, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that she has no, so that he shall have no need of spoil." And all I'm going to say to that is there's trust. And we live in a world that just doesn't have much trust. There's a trust. And by the way, the trust is mutual. I'm gonna jump forward all the way to verse 28. It says, her husband praises her. So I don't know if you see this, but you're going to see in this relationship a level and of trust. And I just want to encourage that so much. Trust. It is so important. And it happens with virtue. Without virtue, there's lack of trust. Virtue from a man, virtue from a woman, it just brings trust. I find it interesting that's the first thing that's noted when we go to describe this. In this woman, that's her value is far above rubies. She will do him good. Verse 12. She'll do him good and not evil all the days of her life. I don't know, but I see commitment dripping through that verse. Now, here's the verses that probably, if I was a mother, I'd feel maybe a bit intimidated. But she seeks wool. I'm sorry, yes, she seeketh wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises up while it is yet night and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considers a field. She buys it with the fruit of her hands. She plants a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceiveth that the merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle. Her hands hold the distaff. She care. I'm going to stop right there. I think it's a little bit of a shift in verse 20. But to me, I read those verses, and here's my summary. Here's my conclusion. Maybe I should ask, what did you hear? What did you see? Realtors would say, yes, she's into real estate. She's buying. What I just like to highlight is she is willingly working. And that's in verse 30. I'm sorry, verse 13. And I just want to echo so clearly what John Harold said to the children. I want to say this to all of us. When the mothers, when the women are working in the house, it is so important that we thank you and have a tremendous appreciation and respect. And there's a lot of work. There's a lot of work that goes into a house. And she's working willingly. She's not grudgingly working at it. She's working willingly. Yeah, it even says she rises while it's yet night. And if I would not be, well, I'm not really, really a morning person, but there's some people that are morning persons and there's some people that are not morning persons. But if I would not be a morning person and I would be a mother, I would say, well, yeah, it has to say that, rises. Yeah. But that happens. If I would ask for a raise of hands and ask how many moms got up during the night last night for a child, I'll bet there'd be a fair amount of hands that go up. While the rest of us had, we just slept right through it. What I'm highlighting is I'm highlighting her sacrifice of work, and she does it willingly. She girds her loins with strength. I think that's about all I'm going to say. She's a busy person, and she's working willingly. And I'm not going to say that you need to be doing wool and flax and so on, but there's an attitude of the chore that she is serving God while she's doing it. And you know what she's doing? She's forming a version of the Bible to the children. And I just want you, mothers, I want to encourage you, moms, you are really forming the child's opinion of the Bible and what it means to be a Christian as you cook and sweep and whatever. Okay, let's go on to verse 20. I think that's where I stopped. It says, she stretches out her hand to the poor. She reacheth forth her hand to the needy. Maybe I'll stop there and just make a comment. What, you as moms, did you ever feel like you just don't have one, you have absolutely nothing to spare, nothing? And I know life is all about seasons, but even amidst all the internal, if you can say, she still cares about other people. And where, she probably doesn't have much left, but it may just be a kind word to a neighbor. It could be, to me, I read that, and she's saying, I'm so blessed. I am so blessed. She's looking around, and she's saying, wow, I'm blessed. And then she has this attitude that there are so many that aren't blessed like I am. And she stretches out her hand. That means simply means extends. And it might simply be, you know, you're cooking a meal and you make a little extra and give it to somebody else. And maybe that's just a stretch to get that done. But that's the attitude. That's the mindset. She stretched her hand to the poor. She reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Says she's not afraid of the snow for her household. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and sells it. And she delivers girdles unto the merchant. It's almost like we're coming back to what all she's doing. And now, again, I'm going to say it again. If I were a mom, I'd say, wow. But I just want to say, I think a lot of you are a lot closer to this model than you realize. And I just want to encourage and bless you. We're talking about God's value system. We're not talking about the world's value system. The world's value system has corrupted, if I could say, has sent many a nations on a downhill spiral. Here we got God's value system. And I think here's what I really want to make a few comments. Look at verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. So it's almost like this woman here realizes that there's coming a tomorrow. And what I'm doing today causes me joy, because these little ones, they're going to have a positive effect on the future. And it's almost like she shall rejoice. Maybe it's not maybe she's not jumping for joy at the moment, but she knows she shall rejoice in time to come, because it's a good investment and it's a very valuable commitment of her time. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Maybe I'll just stop there for a minute. And this really does affect everyone. I know it's in the context of a virtuous woman. Opening your mouth with wisdom, and in your tongue is the law of kindness. And I would like to ask you, if you had analyzed your words, would kindness be the overarching rule and principle? And I'm with all of you, and there is so many times our words, we could pull them back. I'm talking about a value. I'm talking about a model. I'm talking about a prayer. I'm talking about a God. I want this to be the model of my words. The virtuous woman opens her mouth, and it's wise and it's kind. And if there is a prayer in the morning, sometimes I do. Sometimes I open my eyes and I say, Lord, set a watch over my mouth. Sometimes I say, Lord, let my words be like words that are fitly spoken, like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Often when I leave on trips, like just this past, I don't know how many times I prayed that prayer, because you know you're speaking right into people's lives that are just going through some difficult times. Sometimes you have to say some things that are a little hard. And I'm talking about parents, too. This is real with our children. Sometimes you have to say things that almost could be discouraging. Lord, somehow let my words be fitly spoken. Let them be like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Law of kindness. Wise. Do you ever feel like your words were very unwise? Ever feel like, yeah, that was unkind? I'm just lifting up a value and a model of words that I see here. That was verse 26. It says in verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household, and she eats not the bread of idleness. I think we probably covered that in verses 13 through 19, but the bread of idleness. And this should not be limited to women. Although a woman that is idle will greatly, greatly, greatly affect a home. Let me say that again. A woman that is idle will greatly, greatly, greatly affect a home. A man that is idle will greatly, greatly affect a home. In fact, I think there's a lot of homes that are destroyed because of idleness. And when I read idleness, I just picture wasting time. And I could list about 10 ways that are very prevalent in our day where people waste time. You be the judge. Idleness is the devil's workshop. You know it, I know it. She doesn't eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. That might take some faith, whatever season you're in. But I think there's many a woman that raised a family that could say, it's true, 'tis true, 'tis true. And her husband praises her too. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. We're talking about values. That's not what our culture says. Our culture is very outward focused. And I see a woman here that she may be very beautiful, but the focus is the internal beauty, the meek and the quiet spirit. Our world says it's all about the outside. And there's a lot of models that have a beautiful outside, but their inside is corrupt. Talking about values. Do we look at God's value, or do we look at the world's value? It affects us so much, and it grieves me. It really does. Because sometimes I just see it. That is so anti-biblical. And sometimes it's closer to home than we want to admit. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. Beauty is vain. I'd love if everybody could say that. I won't make you say that. Yeah, let's do it. Let's say, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. All together, loud and clear. Ready? Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But here's what we really want to get a hold of. But a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And if you want a theme that just captures it all, is the fear of the Lord. And I know, without a shadow of a doubt, there's many, many in this room here that have a healthy, what I call reverential, fear of God. That means you're not afraid of God. Here's, a holy awe. Somebody explained this, the fear of God to me in a way that's my size. This man said, if you want to understand the fear of God, this is all it is. The fear of God is the deep, settled conviction in your heart that God smiling is life's greatest blessing, and God frowning is life's greatest curse. That's my kind of theology. You know, in other words, if whatever I'm doing or saying is pleasing to God, he's smiling, that's the best it'll ever, ever be for me. But if I'm doing or saying anything that might a frown on God's face, that is going to be the greatest curse that I could ever, ever experience. The fear of God, this virtuous woman has it. And then in verse 31, it says, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in her gates. Well, that was a quick journey through Proverbs 31. I wouldn't call that a deep dive at all, but I hope it was an encouragement. And I hope every mother today will go home with a conviction, what I'm doing is worth far more than rubies. And every one of us that our lives surround or involved with a mother, let's be that kind of a support and encouragement and a blessing. And maybe, just maybe, we can shift the momentum in the culture of the world that we live in. If every single one of us has this kind of a conviction, lives out these values, there is going to be a rippling effect. And that's the will of God. A city that is set on a hill shall not be hid. That's salt and light. And I trust that will be an effect of us looking at Proverbs 31. So God bless you, mothers. And God bless every one of you. Let's continue on remembering this is our value system. Let's all stand for a closing prayer. I'll pray, and then if you have a chorus to sing, and we can consider ourselves dismissed. Father, again, in the precious name of Christ, I want to just commit everyone here to you, to your care, to your keeping. You know everyone. And Lord, you're that big and great and grand that you can just do with every one of our hearts just as you see fit. Maybe some of us need a little nudge. Maybe some of us need encouragement. Maybe you know what we need, Lord. So we ask that you would just give every one of us exactly what we need. And Lord, as we dismiss and we fellowship, I pray that we could just leave this place with your blessing and that we could be a blessing to all that we meet. In Jesus' name, amen.